Hello, and welcome to a Tiny Plastic People special podcast. New heresy, new you. We've done a heresy podcast in the past, and we thought we'd have a bit of a get-together and a chat to see what our collective thoughts were as new heresy stuff gets revealed by Games Workshop. It's worth saying from the off that this is a spoiler-free podcast, so if you haven't seen anything other than what's been shown by Games Workshop, then you're in a good place, because I also have only seen stuff that's been on Hamcom. So, yeah, you don't have to worry about skipping anything. Excellent. Well, joining me tonight is Pete, a.k.a. Fiena.
Hello there.
Rich.
Hey, how's it going?
And one of our Toms. Hello, Tom.
Hello.
We always say one of our Toms, and we never say which Tom it is.
This is
that up to the Tom.
Tom F. The Swordfish, that one.
No one wants to assume. It's too easy to make mistakes.
Obviously, we are the podcast of Tiny Plastic People. If you've got this far without recognising that, then congratulations. Hope you'll stay for the rest of the to the recording. And for our more regular audience, yes, it's going to be heresy and hopefully some interesting takes. So, where do we want to start? Shall we talk about the most obvious thing, which is the new models that we're seeing?
Yes. That's as good a place as any to start, right?
I'm looking forward to the Mark VI, the Beaky Space Marines. I'm looking forward to a bright future of painting much less trim.
To be fair, how much trim is there on Mark IV or Mark III? Mark III's got
you feel every inch of it when you're painting black over yellow.
Well, yeah, I can't blame you for that.
Yeah,
the Imperial Fist life is a life of painting hardship.
But it's our very own pain glove.
The pain
it's
glove.
What happens to you. It's what happens to your hand after you've had to go all the way around all the Mark IV.
They're certainly looking nice. I mean, it's.
I'm very, very excited by it. It seems like they're pushing the sort of design sensibilities of kits from more recent 40k stuff and AOS stuff into 30k, like in terms of dynamically posed bodies. It'd be interesting to see how that impacts things like weapon upgrades kits, because obviously as it stands, if you're plonking a load of missile launchers onto a Mark III Space Marine, you just need to replace the arms, whereas maybe, you know, Mark VI body number 7 that's doing a cartwheel, it won't be so simple.
Yes.
But I think there's always the possibility that there'll be some sort of bespoke plastic weapons kits that they'll do separately, because well, they've done it for Necromunda, so who knows.
I suppose it depends where the splits are as well, because I mean a space marine body torso itself is never going to be that posed, because it's a human inside a dustbin. It's
Well, yeah,
I think it looks like most of the ones we've seen are still holding a bolter in two hands, basically. I think once you've got that, you kind of just fit the special or heavy weapon to the bolter hand spacing, and you're most of the way there. I think you could probably,
go a fair assumption.
Especially if you've got the kind of slight variation in kits that most of them do to allow you to have, I don't know, a sergeant with sword and pistol or bolt gun.
We've seen a sergeant, haven't we?
Yeah, with a very, very nice looking power sword, as I recall. Like a very long blade. It's like a medieval long sword, I would say. I'm into it.
Yes.
Very distinct. Cross guard, right?
Yeah, cross guard.
And some scrolls. Big scrolls.
Oh, I don't remember the scrolls, actually.
And that old school heresy style, very small plasma pistol, which I think looks amazing.
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah.
Plasma Derringer.
Now
possibly need to
kind of
separate out the new models, because the Beaky Marines, I've never liked, and this is going back to the 80s when I sort of first saw White Dwarfs of my uncle's, where there were the sort of the old dioramas and things. I've never liked Beaky Marines. It's just the beaks. So as much as I like new bodies, I know I'm going to have to get replacement heads for every single one of them.
That is interesting.
I think the beaky body is fairly similar to the Mark IV, so you could probably do
it. Yeah, there's not a lot of difference in it. It's the knee pads that are integral to the leg.
You can always tell by the knee pads.
The backpack's different, and they have a different like strap arrangement over the chest. Yeah. That's pretty much it.
I quite like the Mark V helmets, so I might get a load of...
The Mark V helmet is more or less a Mark VII helmet, but maybe with extra balls on it.
Yeah. The Mark V is the one that's covered in balls, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
It looks like they're doing
Ceramo acrylic bonding studs, or whatever the hell they are.
It looks like they're doing motion capture on the outside of their own armor.
Although, to be fair, a decent amount of balls on Mark VI. Like, it seems like a lot of them have them on
pad, right? Yeah.
One side of their shoulder pads.
Yeah, the shoulder studs thing is apparently like came to be seen as a symbol of the Defense of Terror, which I like a lot because I've got Secret Terror Army. Yeah.
That explains why they're all over this Sons of Horus squad then.
They were helping the Siege of Terror.
They were very present at the Defense of Terror.
I certainly must say I am loving the bayonets on the bolters.
And it seems like choice of bayonet, i.e. either bayonet normal or bayonet chain, which is cool.
I'm slightly concerned that they might not apply to the Dark Angel special rule and you don't get a Mastery of the Blade off it. But
well, who's to say that'll still be there, you know? It might have a different special rule for the Legion.
Well... I have thoughts about Dark Angels, which I'll share later.
Or somebody who definitely hasn't seen any... you know, leaks rules, let's say. Who knows how similar it could be.
Spoiler free. I think the bayonets will do a lovely job visually of breaking up the shape of the unit a little bit, just kind of shuffling the silhouettes around on some models.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm not in favour of bayonets because they make Space Marines more snappable. I am a clumsy idiot.
This is true.
I think they look great.
Looking forward with great interest to see if they change the most snappable piece in the range at the moment, which is those little back banners on top of the...
I was just looking at that, and I can say, I'm going to make a prediction here, that is just as snappable.
That still looks quite snappable, and there's also now the Servo Skull Vox Array thing on the other one, which also has a snappable aerial. But, I mean, this isn't a critique of the sculpt, this is that I am an idiot.
The only real damage I've done to any of my... Heresy models is the one tactical marine with the back banner. It's all bendy now because doesn't agree with the foam that it goes in.
I just replace it with steel now. Drill them out.
God, steel.
I'm far too lazy for that. What I did was I shaved down the back of the backpack of the guy who wanted to be wearing it, so it had like a smooth back. And then filed down the back of the banner itself and stuck it on. It looks kind of a bit, almost a bit like a portable shrine or something. It's just got the crest at the top sticking up, and the rest is mounted on his back.
Cool. That's interesting.
I think it looks all right.
Sounds easier than lower. What I do then.
Yeah,
surprisingly,
which is what I love.
I'm marveling at the modelled straps on a lot of these bolters, which I really. But also they're like properly modeled with like a loop and a buckle halfway up, so they're adjustable, and that is just incredible attention to detail that reads really clearly. And I'm not looking forward to painting a black line down the middle of every single one.
No, if Primaris Marines have taught me anything, there will be a gate, a sprue gate in the middle of that strap, and then you'll snap it as you trim it off the sprue.
Yeah, ideal, perfect,
as what intended.
Yeah.
I feel like increasing desire to buy a set of those Gundam side cutters, super sharp, super precise side cutters.
And they cost like 50 quid.
Yeah, but so does a squad of Space Marines. And if you're going to break them by clipping them off the sprue, then...
How much are you willing to pay for the strap?
Yeah.
That's my answer.
the other end of the scale then, of the, you know, Mark VI being super basic, or not super basic, but, you know, free of trim.
No frills, yeah.
No frills, is that we've then just, you know, particularly of, as of recording today, seen the second of the two praetors that presumably come with these beaky marines, who are both the most extra and the most, I mean, particularly... And
possibly the most divisive.
Well, yeah, that's true.
The, I don't know. You haven't seen people's reaction to the beaky marines being a quarter of a millimeter taller than the others.
Oh, well, that's true. That is an unforgivable sin, obviously.
As painted, the Sons of Horus praetor, who is the sort of chunky boy, has all the trim that was taken off the Mark VIs has been applied to him.
Yeah, I think that model is awesome. I really like it. Yeah, I have no idea what he's supposed to be wearing. It's like Terminator plate of
thick armor.
Unspecified mark.
I thought he really reminded me of that recent 40k standalone Black Templar guy who was just like
a
wide boy in power armor with an axe.
Primaris
Maximum Chunk.
Castellan.
Possibly.
Yes.
The one that
people thought he was firstborn for ages because he looked like the guy from the firstborn.
Yeah.
As the song goes, yeah.
The most official answer I've received to "Is he Primaris or is he firstborn?" is like a shrug, and we thought he looked cool.
So, what you gonna do?
Yeah. I really like that Praetor. I'm not sure I like him for heresy, but he looks like an excellent space barbarian, and
Here's my hot take about the like stylistic thing with people saying like, oh, there's too much, you know, accoutrement, or there's too much, you know, different vibe for Heresy. I think that the original set of models for Heresy didn't necessarily reflect the vibe that was in my head of like, people have this image of like 30k era Imperium being this, you know, relatively forward thinking and you know,
it's a bit more military.
I'm gonna put a pin in what you're saying, so continue. I'll come back.
Cool.
Stop you right there.
I'm gonna pop it.
Pop.
But my read on the Imperium in 30k has always been like, these are the barbarians that happen to win the battle for Earth, and they're going out and imposing their will on the rest of the galaxy. And I think models like that Praetor really capture that well, because they look like, you know, a Thunder Warrior who's grown up a bit. They look like a techno barbarian, you know, who's now a dad.
If you said that was a Unification Wars model,
it has a similar vibe, right?
Yeah.
And I think that fits for a character of that society that has produced it, because maybe they're talking about the Imperial truth and stuff, but it is just this vibe of, you know,
the Imperial truth is absolutely imposed and enforced by a man whose face you can't see because it's hidden behind his massive axe.
Right, exactly. And you get that even from the first book, I think.
In quite an
unsubtle way. So I really like it. I think that more characterful stuff for characters really works for me. And he's a thick-ass boy, which is also bonus points.
I really like how the back of his axe has a skull moulding on it. So when he's holding his axe, he's looking at a skull. No one else can see the skull.
Hello.
He's looking at a face.
Makes him think.
Yeah.
It's like I heard a thing about like stage actors writing some of their lines on their prop spears. It's like that. He's like, if I forget what I'm doing, look down. Oh,
it's skulls.
Okay.
I'm going to unpin then what I was about to say.
Certainly.
Go for it.
I totally agree with what Pete was saying, but I've recently painted a lot of the new Dark Angels models, which are very similar word-wise to that. They are freaky medieval weirdos with lots of kind of Baroque odd details, and, you know, lots of chainmail, which, you know, if you're in Terminator armor, chainmail's quite superfluous, but they have it. And they feel aesthetically different to this guy.
And I think that makes sense though, because the Dark Angel stuff in particular is reflective of the, you know, Dark aesthetics Angel. And society yeah. of Caliban, right? Whereas presumably this Praetor model is supposed to be, you can use it for any Space Marines and maybe fits better in some than others. I think he would be great for, say, White Scars guy.
Yes.
For example.
It's kind of hilarious that you say the main box is non-faction specific, you know, is what they're saying. And then it's like, yeah. there's this Praetor and then the other Praetor that we're going to move on to talk about shortly, presumably. And it's like, they are leaning in a certain yeah. direction aesthetically.
Yeah, although I do think that yeah. those directions aren't like that cat no, to any particular
No, I don't think they're bad. I mean, it's yeah. interesting, actually, that he's painted as Sons of Horus. My 40k Sons of Horus, he would fit perfectly into, because I've done them as sort of these noble barbarians.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, weirdly, I think he'd be more appropriate in my 40k force than I'd say in a 30k force. But I can't really capture why that is. I mean, like I say, the model I like.
Do you think part of it is that with these new models that we're seeing, they're painted in a much more main studio heavy metal style yeah. than the historically the Forge yeah, stuff, even can't. Up to and including like the Lion and the Khan and Sanguinius and things that have been fairly recent art.
I think that's a good thought, because
yeah, you can't
having that classic Forge world, like we've sort of done a basic paint job and then drowned it in weathering dust. I think they would come across very differently.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be interested to see some of those when they go out to yeah. painters and things.
I think generally the Heresy has a bit of a... It has a challenge in that each of the legions has a fairly defined cultural context and various specific visual motifs.
Mm.
They are quite different from each other, but in terms of practically how you make the models, they're coming from a relatively small range of core
right,
kits.
You have to make these distinct cultural
yeah.
touchstones work yes. in the context of we want yeah. to produce one
like
of each type of Space Marine kit.
Even
these Praetors are kind of good for not yeah. following that. So
yes, yeah, I think you've obviously got to make the choice of every Space Marine is a design balance between hazmat suit and knight in shining armor / techno barbarian / screaming lunatic / / Viking, right? And I think you've got to. I understand why they, in most cases, fall back on that core of this is a hazmat suit of fairly neutral armor. And then they've got a couple of different directions to go in that. I wonder if, I think perhaps the two Praetors together that they've revealed, I wonder if you could go through and like assign each of them to a legion and go down the list and come out of it and go, okay, I think we've got whichever legion you're doing from that pair, one of them's probably suitable.
It's clearly
yeah, not the
big tough guy, nasty axe, and you've got fancy sword guy, bold, dashing leader, excellent mustache.
Well, I think, yeah. to be fair, like, with the caveat that, you know, I do agree with you that, you know, all the legions have a cultural identity of their own, those two archetypes fit quite a lot of them, more or less.
yeah.
So you can get a lot of mileage out of that, I think.
No, that's what I mean, is that
right,
if whichever legion you have, one of those Praetors will look pretty good for it.
Yeah. I think if not both, then
the
at least
problem
one.
Almost falls down. Not the problem. I was going to say, you know, one's clearly a heretic leader. I say clearly, he's got a lot of skulls. But then it's more that as we move on to maybe the one that's been revealed today, which is the painted as Imperial Fists one, has a lot of Imperial heraldry. So if you were painting it out of the box without doing any conversion work,
is that right?
Yeah, he's got an eagle on his forehead, and he's got the Raptor Imperialis as his belt buckle.
Do they avoid that in like Heresy stuff though?
They
because
typically deface it.
I mean, really noticed that with Heresy things.
The squad painted as Sons of Horus is covered in eagle charms as well. So
is that because they're all the same box? Oh yeah, it is.
Well, but I think
it must be.
I think there's something to be said for the idea that, you know, this isn't at the outset a conflict between, you know, people openly saying we are fighting for chaos versus we are fighting for the emperor. At the start, it's, you know, who should lead humanity, right? Should it be Horus or the emperor? And well, I think there's some scope to say that these eagle imagery stuff, although it is the emperor's symbol initially, it kind of, you know, it indicates the Imperium in a way that you could say, well, if you're fighting against the person that currently leads it in favor of somebody else leading it, perhaps that still works.
Yeah,
waving the flag and hating government.
Limiting.
I would say these two praetors are at opposite ends of the mean nice scale rather than the good evil scale.
Yes, because that's the other thing, isn't it?
Yeah, the like kind of evil kite.
Because I think the to go back to White Scars, I would say that the guy with more fur is the guy you would pick for him, right?
Quite,
So the bigger Terminator Praetor, I think, does fit like the White Scars.
It's sort of barbarian and maybe noble, being, isn't it, really? Those are the two ends.
And I could see him, I could see him as maybe like a salamander as well, actually, although that starts to put the mean nice into. But the sword guy, I think, like, would equally look really cool painted as an Emperor's Children leader. Mm-hmm. And indeed, the Raptor Imperialis on his belt would be perfect then.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the whole deal.
I feel that there's like almost a third praetor needed to like do the aesthetic range, because you haven't got really Dark Angels, Iron Warriors, Iron Hands covered yet. There's a kind of just, the practical legions who are just...
just a T-posing, very plain...
Yeah, the boring legion, aesthetically boring legions. Yeah.
I think the boring
noble,
stuff.
Noble, mean, and boring.
this is a wild triptych that you're painting. I don't know. I think the boring stuff, if to use the terminology given, is perhaps something you would just, I don't know, sand things off with, perhaps, or
just hit it with the Dremel.
I think I was going to say the existing Cataphracty Terminator guy is as boring as they come.
Yeah, he's pretty low key.
And I have one of those painted up in my Iron Warriors army, and he looks perfect. So.
Yeah, and I think the...
proof.
I was going to say, I think the Tartaros Terminator kit comes with bits to make a leader type if you choose to.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of bits to jazz one up in that kit.
One of the good things about Heresy is you can more or less knock up a character with like any given body, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because not all of them have to be super, flashy. I made a Sons of Horus Praetor out of a Tartarus kit just because I had a spare sword from doing Abaddon that was like Sons of Horus themed.
Do you not give Abaddon his power sword? His non-masterworks power sword.
He's got his very very effective combi bolter instead.
I suppose that's probably all the main models that have been revealed then. We have seen in digital form a new tank.
Yes.
Which isn't in really a spoiler to say, is it?
Well, it was highlighted in the one of the previews after. Okay. Yeah. So
yeah.
Things you might have missed.
A big gun a new Spartan, tank? Basically, isn't it?
Honestly, couldn't get much of a read on it.
It looked a little flatter than a Spartan to me. It looked like it might be something like, on the Sakaaran.
Yeah, I got a Sakaaran vibe.
That's not Sakaaran, I meant, not Spartan.
Too many S-tanks.
Yeah.
It's like a Sakaaran, but with a main battle tank turret rather than their various sort of autocannons or Punisher cannons, which is cool. I'd like that. I'd very much like it if it means that a plastic Sakaaran is coming, because...
Yeah.
They have taken the Sakaaran down from the web store.
The autocannon one, yes.
Yeah, I don't think it's spoilers to indicate that the Dreadnought, the Spartan, and the Sakaaran, and the Rhino have all come
Leviathan
down from the web store.
Leviathan, too, I think. If we're projecting from what's being Deforge-worlded. Yeah.
I do like web store tea leaves. Especially, actually know there's a new edition of something coming. Yeah. So you know it's feasible and it's not just the classic, like, something's being reboxed. It'll be interesting to see, and it'll be very interesting to see how price points compare to, like, existing Resin stuff as well.
Yeah, I mean, I've been putting off buying a Sakaran for ages just because, you know, they're not cheap. And
we've talked about buying four between us.
Many times.
the original autocannon one is quite a rough kit as well. I think it's suffering. Oh, well, age.
I really hope that it that our prediction here comes true in that case.
Yeah,
I've got an Arcus in my shame pile waiting for me to have finished everything else I want to do first, basically. I think that'll be
I've got the
looking forward to that
plasma one, whatever the plasma one's called.
Punisher's the one where it's got this massive gun that's off center, and all I can ever picture all I can ever picture whenever I see it is it firing and just turning the turret round.
Yeah,
it rotates like spinning yourself around with a hose.
I think that
one's been out of production for quite a while though. So
it was in that big Ford Sakaran deal, although that hasn't been available for a little while.
Well, if we're talking about what's likely to change model-wise, let's maybe talk about what's likely to change, or not what's likely to change, but what you would like to change rules-wise. So what's your dream wish list for New Heresy as a system?
Danger.
I was one of these boring people that basically thought it was fine as it is for the most part.
I think it is, really.
7th edition 40k with all the bolt-ons that 30k has sort of added to it is it's a creaky rule set, and it's by no means elegant, but for some reason it always seemed like it fit the bill to me. I don't really know what I would push to change in it.
I'd like to see some quality of life changes.
Definitely.
Possibly a bit more consistency in the rules writing. Possibly the tag system from the other games. That's just neat. That's just useful. General simplification. It's got a lot of stuff that was relevant in 40K when it shared those rules that now doesn't need to be in because it's become much more niche. Like, you probably don't need all the stuff about monstrous creatures anymore because there's only
a
few of them.
Demons, though? What
demons
about demons?
I'm not saying there's none of them. I'm just saying that you probably don't need like a 4-page section in the rule book for a total of 8 models.
What about demons, though?
Do demons have chariots? Yes, they do.
I'm not 100% sure, but I think you might be able to make them.
Oh, the old
chariots.
Demons might do. I don't think the Runestorm do, but maybe the old ones.
It's pretty much like build your own army.
It is,
rules,
but I don't think they get any keywords. Okay. The only keywords they get are cavalry, monstrous creatures, and swarms. Yeah.
But yes, you see what I mean in terms of there's lots of stuff that has become dramatically more niche that does not need to be treated as a generic case.
Yes, yeah, I would agree.
Which would be a shame for the people who are currently able to like very flexibly port in stuff from old 40K, but there's only so much they can do to...
Well, the other thing is life always finds a way with these things.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
They'll either keep using the old rules or somebody will put in the effort to do it, I think. So I think it's all right. I just think it's very funny that there's several pages of rules for chariots in the 30K rule book. So that's why I wanted to stay.
I think they should have chariots then. If they're going to have the rules, I reckon a couple of legions could
Hell
do
yeah.
good things with chariots. Tell me that you couldn't imagine Gilliman riding around in one.
I was going to say Horus. Horus is... You'd see Horus chariot extension with him stood riding up to the gates of terror.
You could keep the same pose. With his mace out.
Whole Black Library spin-off novel about where Horus gets his chariot from.
Everyone loves a good racing subplot in their sci-fi. That works for all franchises.
Just Ben-Hur is what you're suggesting. It's Gilliman.
I'm suggesting pod racing, my friend.
Pod racing. Different generations there. Ben-Hur versus pod racing.
You are not that old, Drew.
I'm not as old enough for Ben-Hur, no. I do have a suggestion of what I'd like to see different, and it's probably the only thing that I'd substantially like to see changed. And it's not close combat so much as close combat between characters. That I feel at the moment, the close combat between characters is very all or nothing, and you're very limited to how you build certain yes. types of characters, that you either effectively have instant death or you don't. And if you don't, you're probably going to lose a duel. Like, you know, if you're taking a Praetor, they've got to have a Power Fist or they've got to have some other kind of instant death weapon. Otherwise, they aren't cut out to be a combat character.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. similar with Power Axes as well, and also with Artificer Armor, a bit into squads. There is this thing where if you're fighting in close combat with characters, they need to be yeah. a certain way. Otherwise, they aren't going to do what you want in your mind's eye. And I find that a bit weird.
It's a very clear sense of haves and have-nots when it comes to character versus character.
Yeah.
And it's an artifact of how old some of the rules are. As in, like, first part of Heresy was, like, when? 2012?
Yeah, that sounds right.
That kind of time? Which means that, like, the rules for Abaddon, for example, are just 10 years of concept drift behind
yeah,
some of the
others. Yeah, he's horrifically undertuned, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, that's almost a separate thing, but yes, it's there as yeah. well. Named characters.
Well, part of the issue is his weapons are a Power Fist
yeah.
and a Power Sword.
Yeah.
Mastercrafted, sure, but that ain't going to make much difference.
I mean, at least you can still instant death things. I mean,
yeah,
it's also the
yeah.
weird characters that have Eternal Warrior. Is it Eternal Warrior?
Yeah, yes. that stops you in.
Yeah. Yeah, so
some book characters do, but then there's like very weird, I can't remember his name is, but there's like a, they're not Grey Knights, what they're called, Knight Errants. There's a Dark Angel Knight Errant who has Eternal Warrior, and you can't tell me he's a main character
yeah.
in the Heresy. No, it's
well, presumably it's supposed to denote a level of hardiness as opposed
but
to
a bad like,
yeah. plot armor. It,
and neither
but,
does
yeah.
any well, of the faction heads. It's
I think Abaddon's supposed to be like a superlatively skilled warrior, but he isn't supposed to be like particularly like tough compared
no.
to like any other given character, right?
I do think that Eternal Warrior has just drifted a bit in terms of how they were planning on using it. Like, I don't think Sigismund is known for being like tough as opposed
does he get
to
it?
Like,
yes,
yeah,
he
he's got
does.
It.
And
oh,
he's
right.
Abaddon's
yeah.
nemesis. That's the thing.
Yeah.
It's like Sigismund's
yeah.
supposed to be
like,
Abaddon's nemesis, and he's
compare...
always going to win a fight.
Compare Sigismund and Khan, who in the lore are 1-0, sorry, 1-1, and so you would expect in the rules them to be fairly comparable characters. But I think Sigismund has got both complete instant death and Eternal
right.
Warrior, and Khan doesn't have either. Which...
Right, because again, Khan is a like end of 6th edition, early Heresy
yeah,
rule set
yeah,
character.
Which means that Khan has got to like grind his way through Sigismund, and Sigismund's just got to land one good hit. So I think that
Corswain's the same. I mean, Corswain's obviously yeah. a very new character. Corswain doesn't have immunity to instant death, but he's got a
yeah.
3+ save in close combat in Vun, and he's all his attacks are instant death, regardless of what
yeah.
he's doing. And he's just going to blend through anyone who doesn't have that. And I use him for that, but it does mean that I'm never going to run a Praetor unless I'm feeling very narrative, because Corswain's an absolute beast. It's
yes.
And it's
yeah.
cheaper than a Praetor with a what's it called, Paragon blade. So
wow, you could probably do some fun things with like the challenge rules. I wonder if you could just going off on a tangent from how it currently works to slightly wilder ideas. You could probably throw in some extra rules for fighting in a challenge, just because that's an interesting thing to do that could stand to be a teeny bit more granular.
That was actually going to be one of the things that I would actually just ditch is challenges, because I just
oh,
find
no,
them,
I love challenges.
They break up the flow of combat too much for me.
Thematically, I like them. Flow of combat, yeah, I can totally see what you're saying, Pete. I mean, you can do a lot of shenanigans with them, which...
That's the other thing that I don't particularly love about them.
Is this
too
you...
wonky.
Yeah. I like to be able to abuse the mechanics of my games, clearly. So
yeah. You're one of those people. I have a couple of candidates for throwing in the bin, which are number one, get rid of lookup tables, please. Like,
yeah.
The whole, yeah. like, by and large, they do kind of stick to the rule anyway. But I just find, like, modern 40Ks, if it's more, you know, strength is more than toughness, it, or if it's equal, it's four. If it's more, it's yeah. three. If it's double, it's two, and vice versa. Just so much easier to pass, and I don't think there is really any significant benefit to it not being that
I
way.
I tend to agree.
Yeah. And I think, although you'd probably have to write some new segment, you could do the same. I really like vehicle facing and armor values, but you could do something. Well, it's kind yes. of easier there, isn't it? It's just strength versus number, and does it glance or pen?
Yeah, I really like tanks as they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing I would get rid of is, and this kind of harks back mostly to what you were saying, Tom, about quality of life, is just if I see on its data sheet, for want of a better word, that something has a special rule, and it's not a special rule that is just written out on the data sheet, which I would prefer yeah. anyway, but if it's not going to be that way, when I look up that special rule, I really don't want it to tell me to go and look at two more yes. further special rules. Like,
wow. I don't know if we've all run Primarchs in our games, but that was the absolute yeah. worst offenders for that, because it was like special rule Primarch, C rules, yeah. X, Y, Z, A, B, and C.
I've run Perturabo once in a game with you, Pete, and I have no idea if I used him to yeah. good effectiveness.
I can tell you what the answer was. The answer
like
is no.
15 rules.
I've used Sanguinius and Horus from both my armies several times each, and I've never remembered all the rules. Never, never, yeah. never.
Exactly.
Hold on, can we, Primarchs between the four of us, remember all the special rules that a Primarch has?
Okay, they get Eternal Warrior.
Well, I'm contributing nothing to this, so...
It will not die.
Yeah, they're fearless, but they might not have the fearless special rule. I think they might have fearless through another... Because this is the thing
Very careful about who gets fearless, because it's passed to the unit.
Yes.
Yeah, but the Primarchs do it to the unit.
Oh, maybe they are then.
Because Dark Angels particularly have a lot of rules that are very much like a special rule, a universal special rule, but aren't a universal special rule.
Fearless-ish.
Which is the other thing that drives me mad, where it's like, okay, so why is this not just preferred enemy, or why is this not just hatred? Yeah. And that's the other. Yeah, I'm trying to think now with Parrybox. They don't get relentless, because I know the lion can't shoot his gun. He's...
Classic.
Yeah, because it's salvo, and he can't shoot it and then charge, because... he's too busy using a pistol.
Okay, so hang on. I've got a Primarch's rules in front of me. There are 7, 8, 9. There are 10 God. Special rules that you get just for being a Primarch. Eternal Warrior and Fearless. They've just got Fearless. We've got those.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm going to give us an extra 2 for free, because they are Independent Character, which I always forget is a rule, and Master of the Legion.
Yeah.
So that leaves us with 6 more.
Oh, I don't think I can guess any of those.
So it will not die, right?
It will not die. Yeah.
It will not die. Eternal Warrior.
Precision Strikes? Is that
oh,
one?
Yes. Yeah,
yes, that's strike, one of them.
Yeah. Do they have... Oh, that would be weapon-based, would it? If they had like Rend or something, that would be specific to weapons. Or Rending, whatever it's called.
You should know that, because if you don't give your Primarch thingy's hammer... he can't use anything. Don't do anything in close combat other than his fists, and he's can't hurt marines. So
he's got the hammer. Don't worry,
he's got the hammer.
I don't think I can remember any of the rest of them offhand.
Mm.
So they also have fear, adamantium will.
Are they
fleet,
bulky as well, or something?
And
very bulky.
Not. They vary between which one they've got, I think. That's why it's not part of the Primarch rule.
Conrad Kurz is a twink, and he doesn't have very bulky. So.
Yeah, like the one I've got in front of me is Fulgrim, who's only bulky.
Wow. Some editorialising going on from the rules team here.
Yeah. So, though, credit where it's due, even though Primarch is a special rule that gives you a bunch of other special rules, they do actually list those rules on the character profile. I think I will defend the universal special rule system, because current 40K really kind of has that. They're just called
a different
thing in each
army. Yeah, it has it
without
having it, right?
Right. It's got they've got this ever expanding grab bag of things that a unit can do, or things that a model can do. You can reduce damage, you can prevent rerolls against yourself. You can deep strike. You can get a ward save. Yeah. You can get all. They've got this massive list of things. It's just that there isn't this single coherent way of referring to them.
Yeah.
Which also means that sometimes they're just very slightly different between books, between units.
Yeah. I do just think, like, if something's going to have It Will Not Die, maybe this isn't a good example. It Will Not Die is the, you get a ward, right?
Recover health.
Yeah.
Recover health. Like, I find it, like, an order of magnitude harder to remember everything if that's written on a sheet as just It Will Not Die, not It Will Not Die, recover D3 health at the start of a turn,
I think,
or whatever it is.
Big,
like,
part of the issue with this rule system, this way of writing rules, more to the point, is that that way works if you're playing those games like every week or like several times a month, and you're not playing loads of other games as well. Whereas something more referential, like 40k or AOS, where it writes most of the rules you need to know on the unit card, works better if you play a variety of games or if you don't play as often. Yeah. I think realistically, none of us are playing 30k every week, so it is quite difficult to remember.
Though I would say that's one of the things I don't like about new 40k is how much of the stuff isn't on the sheet. I don't think the balance of writing out all the special rules on the sheet makes up for the fact that now more than half the things a unit can do are stratagems, are auras on somebody else, are army abilities, of which you get two from this list, are
relics. Which is an issue with, you know, a similar issue with a different sort of cause almost. Yeah.
Basically, I think both systems benefit a lot from mastery, and it's easy for me to say I like one more because I've got a level of mastery in that system because I played an absolute shit ton of previous versions of 40k. But I will defend Heresy against charges of being more complicated, because I think once you have got a grip on the current rule set, you have a much deeper understanding of the whole.
Yeah, I don't think that's unfair. Yeah,
I mean, Heresy is a crunchy game, and I don't think that's a problem. You know, you were saying before, Rich, about armor facings and things. It's like,
I like the bits like that. I'm totally cool with that.
I guess the issue is going to be how much do they want to how much do Games Workshop want to make Heresy like and another sort of approachable game that you can play in that sort of beer and pretzels way.
I think the dads will riot if that was to happen. So
I would argue that you can kind of play Heresy in that way anyway, because the core rules, I would pretty much agree with you, Tom, aren't really that wild.
I mean, we all picked up Heresy quite recently. This is the thing. So it's like none of us have, other than Tom, really, who's got the past game experience. You know,
And we're not tournament going meta chasers either. So
It's
very nice of you to say that after you've recently played my sister Battle Army, Rich.
Well, not for Heresy though. Beat you at Heresy before, Pete, so it's fine.
Quite a lot, as I remember.
I mean, I think the other thing, you know, James of TPP might say differently, but it's certainly another thing he's voiced in the past, which is one of the things he's found very annoying with Heresy, is the number of very similarly worded special rules where it's like murderous strike and murderous something else, and, you know.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
It makes it difficult then to remember. What's what? And there's a lot of, I mean, this is probably that, you know, Heresy is a game that's grown very naturally, and I think without a big plan, you know, I have nothing to base that on. But, you know, it's you know, and even Dark Angel stuff recently is, you know, they've had FAQs for the Dark Angel book. There's no explanation at all about how some of the special rules react with other things, where you have, oh, you know, this hit will always do a vehicle shake and roll, and then you've got things like extra armor, which always cancels a vehicle strike and roll. So what do? You just go in circles? It's sort of, there's never any clarity on that. And I think this is, it's from the sort of formlessness that Heresy's evolved from. And there's so much quality of life stuff that could be done in the new edition just to make the no ambiguity gif happen.
Yeah.
One thing that I want them to consider carefully how they do. Not that I don't think they're, not that the rest of it's just them shitting out balls, but I think I want this to strike a very particular balance. Is about FAQing the game as opposed to changing it, because we are recording this the day that the balance patch for 40k came out, and I understand the need for those balance patches, but there is a lazy bastard part of me that looks at the rules and thinks, oh, fuck, now I've got an extra set of things to remember. I have a book, and now the book is not right.
See, I absolutely get where you're coming from with that, but as somebody that does appreciate things changing, and actually has happened quite a lot in Heresy over its lifetime as well, I think the solution to that is just having a better online rules delivery system. If the 40k app or a theoretical 30k app, whenever there was a, you know, balance change or anything, if it updated the day they released it accurately, I think there really wouldn't be much of a problem. I think the issue is when you're relying on books and you're like sticking a printed sheet of A4 in it or whatever you do.
That printed sheet of A4 is going to be different in 6 weeks.
Right. Whereas if you have digital rules delivery, I mean, I've been saying this for years now and we're slowly getting there, but that really does solve it all for me. If you can just whip your phone out and get the correct latest rules for any given unit.
Yeah.
Part of me feels there's some degree of sort of, I don't know, a tech privilege to that, but
yeah, I mean, yeah, I know what you that's mean. Undeniable. It's... You know, if you don't have a modern smartphone, then you wouldn't be able to use that. But I think in a situation where people are spending 500 quid on an army,
it's not
the biggest ask.
And I don't think there's an alternative. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
The
well, that's is it, isn't it?
PDFs with, you know, just every book. It's like, I look at my old 8th edition codexes. I was throwing them out recently, and they just have stacks of paper stuck in the front covers of them. Yeah. And it's like,
yeah, I do remember introducing somebody to Age of Sigmar late in or midway through 2nd edition while their army used a 1st edition book, and just having to say, okay, this is different, this is different, this is different. Here's don't two different documents of things that have changed. Here's a whole different set of points costs. Here's a third document, and here's some relevant points from it that change how that works. And I think that may have been the thing that put her off most, knowing that there was no single consistent source of what the fuck's going on.
I think really in general, wargaming is quite a sort of beginner unfriendly. Perhaps not unfriendly, perhaps daunting is a better word.
Yes.
There's a lot to get your head round and so many moving parts. And, you know, it's good for the people like us that live and breathe this stuff that they update things and correct things. But for people just coming into it, like you say, it is a whole lot to get your head around.
Yeah, I realised that recently doing some sort of introduction games for 40k with people. I was telling people, this is on me to some degree, I was telling people things that, you know, are useful about piling in and stuff, but in retrospect, you don't need to think about for your first games. You know, you just want to be like, just stick your guys in and everyone fights. But there's nothing in the rules that controls how you teach people things that, and yeah, like you say, it just means that if you're used to it, it's not daunting, but as soon as you come to it, it's... Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Heresy particularly is weird in that way. And this is one of these things that I feel I wouldn't want to see changed, but is also, you know, I'd recognise as a terrible thing for Heresy to be an introduction to anyone, is the way the physical rules are distributed and the books come out, that you're getting a coffee table book with your rules in.
Yeah, I hope there's some kind of that left. Yeah,
I love the big books. But then it's like, I've got my Dark Angel one, which is the only black book I've got in hardback, and it's shagged, and I've barely used it. Like, every time I use it, the metal corners fall off the book.
Oh, God.
And you're just
They did this once, and I don't know, I assume it must have been unfeasibly expensive or something, because I don't know why they didn't do it again, because I love it. For one edition of 40k, the rule book you could buy was a boxed set of three books, one of which was one of which was the rules, one of which was the lore, one of which was the hobby.
That was seventh, right? I think.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
I wish they hadn't stopped doing that. I would genuinely pay a premium over the cost of those books to get it in that format.
Yeah. I mean, if book 8, book 9, whatever the Dark Angel one is, I would just buy a softback version of it to shag. Not shag literally, but...
Sorry, because that's what we
what a man to. Does with a book in the privacy of his own home.
Because I like Dark Angels.
But in that way, I will never buy a black book. I will absolutely... I'm not spending £90 on a book that I could spend on models.
Well, if you're lucky, because obviously at this point, it's like a secondhand buyer's market out there. I mean, I made out like an absolute bandit with the black book situation, because I bought book 8, which was the one with the Blood Angels in, soon after it had become like unavailable from Forge World. Which meant I got it secondhand from somebody who sold it for about cost, so 900 quid odd. And then, you know, as time has gone on, it's become more and more rare and more sought after as more people play Heresy, because I think it has been gaining popularity over the last few years. So I sold this book for 450 quid.
Jesus Christ.
There's a hell of an ROI on that. And I sold it just before this announcement of a new edition of Heresy happened. So, you know, I'm glad that I look at leaks. You know, I'm surviving under our capitalist hellscape here. I don't care.
Oh, that's interesting, because almost everyone I've spoken to who's a Dark Angels player had their Dark Angels wins knocked out their sales by the Dark Angels book. That it's just not a good set of rules and doesn't do anything interesting on the tabletop. And then there was this hope that, oh, will the new edition? Because obviously you think it's a new book, so surely it was written with a new edition in mind. Will it make the
I don't know
edition?
About that. I get the sense that the black books are more or less totally independent of...
I don't think half of them were written with a current edition in mind, really.
I mean, the Dark Angel stuff really isn't. It's like... You just, the stuff you just wouldn't do. Maybe it's been sat on as a PDF for the last 6 years, and now they've just pressed print on it, and that's where you got these rules, and they're very weird. But yeah, I mean, I would like to see my Dark Angels, so for a purely selfish point of view, I'd like to see my Dark Angels rules be viable.
I do really like the work that the Specialist Games Studio does on, like, building these amazing books full of lore and layouts and maps and diagrams, and I think they're fantastic.
Oh yeah, the books are
lovely. Absolutely no interest in paying 90 quid for one of them at all, because this is a hell of a lot of money, and B, to have rules...
Well, they're not gaming items. This is
imagine
the issue.
Exactly. You spend 90 quid and then put a big scratch up the cover the first time you use it.
Yeah. So I'd rather have a £30 softback of like army list, or even a £30 softback per legion. I could deal with that.
Yeah, codex.
You know, that's what you pay for a codex. Yeah. And then, you know, just more frequent releases of the books, like the Art of the Heresy books that we've had in the past, or Visions of Heresy, rather.
I mean, I've got the Sabbat War Crusade book on my shelf here, which
stuff
is...
Stuff like that.
I've got that. I might pay 90 quid for one of those about the Imperial Fists, right?
Or
especially if it contained a whole bunch of pictures of cool models as well.
This is what I think the books should be, is they shouldn't be gaming items. They should be like, you know, conversation piece slash things you can look at in bed.
But there's a gaming item as well, you know, like we were saying before, there's a softback rules only version or something.
I personally would be very happy to move rules to be like totally digital. And I don't think that'll ever happen. And I think it obviously doesn't work for everybody, like by preference or by need. It doesn't work for everybody. Mm. But just from a purely selfish point of view, I want books to be, you know, stupid nerd jerk off items, and the rules to be on my phone.
You and Drew both. Missing.
Yeah. You said you wanted a book to look at in bed. Are we?
Yeah.
Am I behind on what we're meant to be doing with these? Is it
what
bedside table, not coffee table? So,
I think that's the thing.
Like, looking at Blood Angels.
But yeah, I'm just I am put off of buying them by them being the only option, I think is the way I would put it. So,
yes.
Yeah, even if it did have rules in, I'd probably be more likely to buy it if I could also have the rules somewhere else, because yeah. then what I'd be doing is buying it because I wanted it, whereas at the moment I feel like I have to buy it because I have to.
Yeah,
and then yeah. I do the Pingu, well, now I'm not doing it. Fold the arms.
There was definitely a period where it was just a £90 buy-in to play a Legion, and you'd yeah. get.
And if you want to play Talons, it's two £90 buy-ins because they're not in the yeah. same book.
Well, I mean, yeah, if you wanted to get all the rules that you need for any given Legion, it would be, I mean, depends on the Legion, right?
I think credit where it's due. Once the expectation changed that this was no longer an expansion to 40K, I feel like they did. That was about when they started doing the...
The red books, the new
yes,
red books.
Yeah, yes. when they shifted from the base level assumption is you've already got the 40K rule, but
yeah,
they did consolidate it and do it more sensibly.
Yeah, and that was good. But yeah. also, if you wanted to play Blood Angels or White Scars or Dark Angels, then you still yeah. had to get a black book, which was £96 on its own or whatever it was.
But so that was... If you didn't want to play those, you could choose not to. You could.
Yeah, sure. But that I don't know. I guess to me, yeah. Books as a luxury item that is totally optional would be the ideal.
Yeah. I mean, I'd never want just no books because I like to stick post-it notes on things, and that's hard to do to my phone. But
face.
Yeah. Face.
That's an option.
It's a weird one, and it's. I don't think there's ever an answer to say, oh, well, you don't play that Legion. You know,
yeah.
in an ideal, maybe this is a bit too fluffy, but it's like in an ideal world, yeah, everyone should be able to access things at a sensible price point and
yeah.
as easily as possible.
In an ideal world, I certainly agree with you. You sure. know, realistically, you're going to have to think, you know, is this army not only the one that I want, but also one that I can afford and is practical for me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But certainly in an ideal world, you should just be able to pick the one that you like the most.
It's also slightly loaded because you're talking about how much a book costs when you're about to spend £1 billion on plastic toys, but it's like all resin toys. But yeah, you know, it's a barrier for entry because
it all impacts it though because it does, you know when you start, I'm sure a lot of people don't play Heresy because they don't want to buy a book that costs £100 to play their Legion, right?
Presumably,
one of the things that this reboot will do will be to. Tapwood, hopefully, remove that one barrier from people.
Yeah,
just to normalize it, so that whichever faction you want to play, you don't have vastly different buy-ins or vastly, in some books cases, more difficult to find.
Right,
like ways in. Right,
can't believe I have to pay £90 for my White Scars rules. I say just before spending £37.50 on one fucking jet bike.
Well, yeah, this is the thing. Like, we all contain multitudes, Tom. It's fine.
I've spent most of mine.
Yeah. Shall we? I feel like I've inspired bullying of books for 20 minutes.
We've moved on to writing now.
Should we talk about some things we do like and hope stay in New Heresy?
I mean, we've all kind of said it, which is vehicle facing. You know, vehicles with facings and fire arcs.
Yeah.
We really want to be there still.
You know what? I wouldn't be that sad if firing arcs went. I like facing and I like...
Firing arcs get thin. But facings,
facing and armor, great. Fire arcs are just annoying.
You're the tank man, and not just Heresy. You're all about your tanks.
I know.
Tanks.
But the good thing about Flame Support is you just have turn the turret, and they can fire from any direction.
All the best tanks have guns that turn.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the point in time when the rules were essentially: if you can point your gun there, you can shoot it. Which raised all sorts of questions, like, what if I've glued them in?
Yeah. My land raiders with glued guns, say.
Yeah. Look,
very, very narrow firing arc.
Would you glue the gun onto a real tank, Tom? Didn't think so.
I hope it's attached in some way.
Okay. So, armor facings I love.
I agree.
I feel that's such a kind of, it's wrong to say realistic because it's
well, it's more realistic than not. Works.
But yeah, it's a kind of simulationist feel. It adds an element of this is cool to do.
Yeah,
and the facings and firing arc stuff does add a positional element to the rules, which I think is more or less absent in the new 40K, where now there's this whole other aspect of, can I get round behind them? Can I drop pod in behind them? There's, feels a fair bit like the new rules essentially kind of just measure how far away you are from a target, and that is a one-dimensional, in terms of like the possibility space, it's a one-dimensional measure of how does my position matter, possibly with a second dimension for what cover have I got, and this now adds two extra ones of can it shoot me and am I doing extra damage to it.
Yeah,
I mean, this is the classic thing with land speeders. You know, since second edition, I can't remember what land speeders were like in first. I never played it. But it's certainly in second edition, you had land speeders, and they were just like a suicide fridge with a melter stuck to the front of it. And it existed to get behind something and kill something more valuable than it before it got killed by a small child with a wooden sword or whatever, because it had one
role. They had all of the, like, if you get stunned or shaken or anything, you just crash into the ground and explode, right? Like,
yeah, if you deep strike and you scatter into a building, you blow up. And...
Yeah.
I loved playing a drop pod based army for old 40K, and I loved that. And that had a lot of interesting positional play and board control stuff about it. That's something I want them to. I want them to keep Deep Strike more or less as it is, with including the risk of crashing into a rock and completely exploding.
Yeah, I like that.
And
and
I want them to change the rules for who gets drop pods to, so that you don't have to go all in on them or buy super
nice
expensive resin ones.
I
would really, really like to do.
What if you could just take a drop pod as a dedicated transport for a unit that can fit in one? What about that?
Yeah, exactly. Because I've painted one and I don't really want to paint four more.
Yes.
Well, I bought all Tom's drop pods off him, I think. And I've
I think
never
I have
used
one,
them.
Actually. I do have Tom's, one of Tom's old drop pods somewhere.
Incredible.
Because I still don't have enough to field an entire force in if I was going to do a drop pod assault. So.
Yeah, I think that's something that I think is quite relevant to the feel of Heresy, but is to its detriment in terms of actually constructing an army and playing it, is it's very all or nothing in a lot of ways. You have to go really hard into something. It's harder to cherry pick stuff. And you see this in terms of, like, you can't mix and match weapons in a unit, and you have to have one unit with your bolters and one unit with your missile launchers. And a part of that is this drop pod thing. And I think I would like to see a little bit less of that.
Yeah, I definitely think a little bit more flexibility would be nice. I do like the sort of, we touched on it earlier, like instant death, especially when it comes to vehicles. I really like the idea that you don't have to whistle a land raid down. If you manage to get through its armor and you hit something valuable, it might just explode. I think that's
but also
really good.
That it's indestructible if you can't get through that AV-14.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, that's a tank that feels like a tank. That, you know, it's like, oh, this is the most powerful. You know, this is looking at playing Marines in 9th edition. It's like, I just look at vehicles and I'm like, it's not worth taking. So it'll just get Darklands to death in like 30 seconds. I mean, obviously that was to happen in 30k or equivalent. But it's like, if you know that chip damage is not going to kill your land raider, and if you take a land raider, it's going to feel like a boss unless it comes up against serious anti-tank.
Yeah, and even if it does get hit, it might just not be able to move but still be able to then focus on putting out a withering amount of fire across a lane that it's covering. So
yeah
and you can
I do like that,
and you can debilitate vehicles. Perhaps that's something else I hope they change a bit, is you should be able to debilitate super heavies, because at the moment super heavies are immune to all of the damage things except being fully blown up.
You shoot them with I can't remember what it is now, it's the tank hunter Sakaran, which shock pulses it, which is why everyone who wants to, you know, be serious about it, takes these one specific tanks that can shock pulse them, and then it makes them snap fire, which again is the all or nothing approach, where it's like, well, you take this one specific tool to deal with super heavies.
I think you're right in terms of the super heavies don't have the interesting possibility space between alive and dead that other vehicles do, where theirs can't move or lost its big gun or something. So, and I get why that is, because the debilitations are also a bit all or nothing, right? But I think they should do just a separate damage table for super heavies so that you can get some value out of a lucky shot on one without needing to take 600 points worth of model off the table all at once.
Yeah. I like super heavies in 30k, but I've only used them once, and I've only used those very small super heavies, and they feel suitably chunky there without being overpowered. But yeah, it's always going to be a balancing act. I'm trying to think what else. I mean, massive mobs of infantry I do like in Heresy.
Yeah, I like that.
And in some ways, you know, the way you can lose morale and lose an entire squad, certainly in close combat, and get swept, disincentivizes it. But at the same time, looks good, so
yes. And the morale system, being able to force you to fall back or go to ground, is good, because that also gives you again a possibility space between alive and dead.
Yes.
And gives you options for removing units from objectives other than just wipe them all out.
I think morale having a bigger impact is, and I think is Andy, I don't remember who said it, I think it might be Andy Chambers who said it, is that, you know, Heresy is a universe where even your heroes accept that there are things they need to be afraid of.
Right.
That, you know, at the turning point of Heresy, they are discovering stuff that you are not, they're not alone in the universe, but there are some very bad things in the universe or beyond the universe.
Yeah,
that they think they might actually be afraid of. Yeah.
That's sensible, but it always strikes me as just such justification after the fact. We found this game was boring if everybody had and they shall know no fear and ignored all the morale rules. So
but they're right to say that
in the lore. I just find it a bit funny that I actually think that's the order it came out in.
Well, it's been in the books before it was in the game, because like the very first Heresy book is like Loken being like, what is this feeling that I somehow feel as though I should run away from this thing that I don't understand?
So often.
Sure.
I mean,
but, you know, that was 2006 and the game came out in 2012. So I think,
I mean, it adds to the game though, doesn't it? That's the thing.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
Yeah,
makes it a different style of game. You are not impervious.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I would, I don't know. I don't take to Twitter to complain.
Things I would definitely keep. Rites of War, I think they're really good ways of either theming a force or for the specific Legion ones having some like cool themey.
I'd like my Dark Angel ones to be good, but then
I'd be tempted to try and combine Rites of War and
Force Org.
What's the other thing? Yeah. I don't think we need both of those. I think
maybe a Rite of War could just be a Force Org chart. Caveats or
possibly something like give us five Force Organization charts, and each Rite of War uses one of those on top of its special rules.
It feels like it's so rare that you actually use Force Org other than the default one. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but.
The default certainly seems like the one everyone uses from my small experience.
I like the ability to swap things around being troops and not, you know, even to... Oh, I'm terrible. What's his name? The Malgahurst, you know, just making Reavers into troop options for Sons of Horus army and things. It's like, it's just nice. It feels good. It's themey. And it's adding a character who isn't a death machine to maybe give you something else. And that's...
I like those.
I actually thought of something else that I didn't like.
Excellent.
Sending us off on
I feel like I've forgotten it again now. So maybe we'll just cut this bit out.
I think it should stay in.
Yeah.
Caro should be cooler.
Every podcast must have one person just going insane for at least like 2 minutes. So, what was it? Nope. It's gone.
Tie-in body pillows.
Yes, everyone wants that.
Primark dating sim.
I want a Horus body pillow, and I want some Fulgrim socks. And
gross.
I mean, if we're relaunching Heresy as like a, I mean, it obviously like is a mainline game now, but in terms of like factory support, as much as anything, if Heresy is being relaunched as a more mainline thing, then maybe we'll see some Heresy things pop up on the merch store.
Heresy candles, finally.
Yeah, frankly, I cannot wait, because those are always my favourite days, just browsing the merch store, seeing what's been added. No, I can't remember what I was, what had popped into my head that I didn't like, so it's obviously fleeting.
I'm trying to think what else I'd riot about if it was, riot very quietly into myself, but what I'd riot about if it isn't in the new edition. I like the diversity between the legions. I hope that stays. You know, and if you strip everything back to basics, I suppose there's that idea that you simplify everything. Because it always throws me when people go, oh, I don't like Heresy because it's just Space Marines. And it's like, it's not just Space Marines. Yeah,
there's a lot different of different space types marines. Of Space Marines.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. And also, it's just Space Marines. I've never entirely got the there's too many Space Marines argument about 40K. It always seems to me like a bit like living in a town called Rainville, the most rainy place in the country. And stepping outside and go, huh, is it raining? So, yeah. I'm gonna make, as someone who's read the rules, I'm going to make an unrelated prediction that things are going to look a lot simpler at first. My prediction is that they are going to then get expanded out later on. I suspect that the first reaction we're going to get from a lot of people looking at new rules is going to be, huh, they've taken so much out. And I think that's because they're going to be adding it back in later.
I don't think it will be that coherent. I think it will be that, but with more saliva flying and...
Yeah.
That's a cheap prediction, Drew. That's always going to be true.
We can't predict things that we already know, Drew.
Do people think... You know, there was a lot of big robots in the sexy reveal video. Do you think AT is going to be rolled into the Heresy banner? And we're going to get...
It was built as a Heresy game.
I don't know how it could meaningfully be done that more than it currently is. I think perhaps the best you'll get is the new logo.
That's what I was about to say.
It's not
new logo on the box.
But yeah, I think that's about all you would expect.
Yeah,
unless they put in like rules for linked games or something. But even that, I can't see happening.
I suppose it was more just a kind of a conscious focus that, you know, there is a Heresy bracket, and the Heresy bracket is AT and 30K together as a, you know, I'm not going to a store, but you know, there is one product line, and just one of them is 8mm and one of them is 32mm. Yeah.
This kind of tangentially links on to what my secret hope for 30K was going to be, which was that it would be rebranded into Epic 30K and you could use Titans alongside, you know.
Yeah.
Tiny little 8mm legionary armies, which I think we now know is not going to happen because we've seen
next
models.
Month, I'm going to buy a 3D printer and then get Rich to use his 3D printer, and then we should play 30k Epic.
I could be tempted.
Printed a load of Falchions out or whatever.
Yeah, obviously. I keep seeing them that other people do. And
No crimes will happen. So no. It's all fine.
Hey, Games Workshop, do not make 8mm.
Yeah,
no, but they certainly do make full-scale Heresy stuff that people scan and replicate. So.
Well, I'm no lawyer. I'm no fancy country lawyer, but...
Yeah, I think you're right, Tom, on prediction that it'll seem simpler and then get more complex. Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised. Obviously, we don't know the actual, really, the breakdown of like what the product offering will be at Heresy 2.0 launch, or whatever you want to call it, but... I wouldn't be surprised if whatever we get at the start is like a core rule book and an index or series of indexes a la 8th ed 40k. Mm. And then maybe it starts to get a little bit more.
Maybe each legion gets its own book later on.
So that could be cool though.
I'm trying to think how often I've got to use my legion book since it came out, which isn't a lot.
So here is a slightly wilder prediction. Can we look at what's going on with Heresy and make predictions about the old world
Ooh,
big tangent.
To what extent do we think these are going to be similar patterns?
I've heard some people suggest that the Old World is going to kind of occupy the space that Heresy used to occupy as the, like, Forge World resin-heavy game.
So Heresy gets...
there'll be some sort of cycle where, you know, that gets replaced with something else. And
that sounds ambitious, but...
I almost think it doesn't sound ambitious enough for me to believe it, because I think that, well, my wish is that GW more or less... like totally engulfs the Forge World brand into itself, and there really isn't a distinction going forwards anymore. I think the idea that they have to be separate now doesn't really make much sense to me.
They've knocked through at Warhammer World. The two shops are now one shop.
If that
helps.
That says everything.
I definitely think it's a little bit wishful thinking when people say that they expect Heresy to become a game on the level of 40k or AOS. I do not think we're going to get them as three equal siblings.
I don't think they'll be equal, but I do think that Heresy has the potential to be a much bigger game than it is. And I also think, despite having just said that, Heresy is quite popular, like quietly already.
Yes, I would agree.
I mean, quite a lot of people, just anecdotally, that play Heresy and don't play AOS and don't play 40k. You know, they more or less only play Heresy. So I also think there's loads of people out there who've like got into the books and all the rest of it. So I think there is quite a good opportunity for GW to make it another big game, even if it isn't like 40k or AOS in terms of audience size.
It's interesting because Heresy is popular despite itself, because we've all been right. there are a lot of barriers to entry. You know, if it's not one squad of assault marines costing you £100 or one book to use as assault marines costing you £100 and then a £50 red book so you get the core rules, you know, and that's one part of your army. It's, you know, yes, it's popular despite that. So, yeah, it obviously can be a lot more popular.
Could only make it easier for people to justify to themselves.
I think I would say that, I mean, given what we know about the Heresy changes coming, which is what GW said, that a variety of core units are being remade in plastic, but as of this moment, things like Primarchs and Legion-specific units, there are no plans to turn in plastic. I think... probably that does kind of change what I was expecting from Old World. And again, our scope is really limited beyond a few snippets and like knowing it's going to be on square bases. But I think I would have said 6 months ago, Old World will be a plastic starter set like Betrayal at Kalth with either one or two factions worth of models, depending on what it turns out to be. And then it'll be a load of the very occasional plastic core unit and a load of resin things. And I do kind of feel like now, maybe that's not ambitious enough. Maybe it's more kind of like a load of core plastic stuff and some resin centerpieces or something.
So many diverse factions though for
But it depends what the scope of the Old World is. Like, is the Old World Empire Civil War, which is what I predict it will be to start with, at least.
The only things we know that are coming in the Old World are Kislev, aren't we? That's the only
We don't know that they're coming in like plastic kits.
We know they're coming as models.
I wouldn't even be confident saying that personally. We've seen concept art. That has then happened to exactly coincide with the unit in a video game.
I was about to say, because that's the other thing, is that we assume, you know, the thing that seems to be driving, I mean, this is, again, totally projecting, it's the thing that seems to drive the Old World being interesting again is Total War Warhammer being gangbusters kind of popular. You can't help but go, well, what's Total War Warhammer doing? It's going to be that. But
I really wouldn't be surprised if it started as something quite limited in scope. Yeah. The very, very first thing they released of that was a map of the Empire that was like, I don't know, 500 years before the end times.
Yes.
Was
that
it?
Was during
four
a time
different
of
emperors or whatever.
Exactly. So I think it'll start there and potentially build out, and maybe they'll, you know, start reprinting Tomb Kings, who knows.
Yeah, but, well, that's a prediction I made quite a long time ago on a pod, which was that the old world would become almost like a kind of heresy, but not fixed in one particular time, that you get different branching some historical narratives that you, I can't remember any of the old world lore now, but you know, that you've got...
Makes a lot of sense.
Magnus the Pious, and then you've got the Time of Four Emperors, and these are effectively like standalone books that come out, and then you use your army in that time period, and it's, you know, you're not adding new lore, you're just building up off the existing lore.
I wonder if what we'll see is something along the lines of a new range of models that is Empire Civil War, and also rules support and made to order stuff for other factions.
That's potentially so they did that a lot with Blood Bowl.
A big made to order range of Tomb Kings and a Tomb Kings book of some sort.
I'm looking at the article now for like the latest FAQ they did about Total War, about Old World. And against the question of is it going to be like 10 or 15 mil scale, they say the scale remains the same as it ever was. We want people to be able to use their old armies, which
you
implies
broke my
old
heart
armies.
When they wrote that.
They've said orcs are called orcs. They do their like, oh, the time it's set at is just a bit before a calamitous chaos invasion, which was barely touched on in previous iterations. ...
Well, that could be Magnus the Pious, though. So
I think there's, and they do actually mention an Empire Civil War as well, but they. So I think that's obviously, they do use the words add new miniatures to old armies. So I think, I'd be surprised if you couldn't use your Orcs and Goblins army. This has gone way off track for a Heresy podcast.
Yeah, we're going to have to add a stinger at the start and stay to the very end for a special surprise.
What is more appropriate to Heresy players than talking about the old world? Nothing. Wow. That's my hot take on it.
What did Drew? Did you have any other plans for us on what we were going to talk about on this pod?
Just if the new edition. Flames of War, yeah, we can talk about Flames of War. Talk about boat games that no one will play with me. We don't talk about Fire Arcs. Yeah, just if the new edition is provoking any thoughts about whether it's going to change your hobby goals. If nothing else, you know, because we're all mad heresy whales, we're probably all going to buy a box which have a lot of beaky marines in. Are you going to paint them the same colour as your current marines? Or are you going to go off in a tangent? So yeah, is heresy, new heresy going to be new you?
I don't know personally. I'll reserve judgment until we actually know what the product is, what the offerings are, but I don't feel so far that I'm definitely going to jump in and buy a big box if such a thing exists. But equally, you know, I will want a rule book at least. So you quite often end up talking yourself into I want a rule book and I want one of the new things that's present. And okay,
I will put money on the fact that at least three of us, and I'm not going to go totally in, but at least three of us here,
I think it's probably
all end up with at least one big box.
I think I'm converted to the big box. I know what I want to do with the models that have been announced. I have some ideas for.
Well, have they been announced? I mean, the contents of the big box is very much a rumor or a leak, as opposed to a announcement.
It's going to be a bag. Just a bag of Mark VI Marines.
Joke's on you, it's not a box.
Pre-assembled, cast in PVC.
I know that I want to do, for example, some Mark VI Phalanx Warders for my Imperial Fists. I think I'm a convert to the box.
So you're staying yellow, though. That's the...
Yes. Yeah, I'm not shifting onto another Legion, though. I have been thinking about what I would do if I did another one, but
slippery slope.
Good to know.
What if?
I don't think 20-30 Mark VIs are gonna look right in an Iron Warriors army. Although I do like one of those Praetors, so I'm really not sure. I had thoughts of a White Scars army, or some thoughts of a Night Lord's army, but I've also got a bit of Mechanicum stuff, so I was thinking, like, if I did a second army, actually, maybe it'd be interesting for it not to be Marines.
I did not know that you had that.
Just a couple of units of Thalax, which I sometimes use with the Iron Warriors.
But... I dropped a bombardment on them, is all I remember.
Yes, they have never done anything on the table except absorb an orbital bombardment. So,
do you want to, if we play a game, do you want to do that exemplary battle that was Imperial Fists with robots against Iron Warriors?
We could do that. The robots can betray me. That's fine. yeah, so the Heresy remains in my future, but who knows? Who knows what colour it'll be?
I mean, speaking for me, the ultimate stupid whale boy, I'm definitely going to get whatever new gigantic starter thing comes out. I do think it'll be new Heresy, old me, though, because I already collect two legionary armies. I collect Blood Angels and Sons of Horus, and I'm going to stick with that. My Sons of Horus army currently is more or less all Terminators, so having a lot of like power armored guys I can add to that is going to be super good. And then, you know, anything else that comes with it is just a bonus, really.
And we know they look good in green. So.
The Sons of Horus green is honestly the main reason I collect them. Like,
it's very nice.
It's just a nice colour to paint and to look at, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
How about you, Drew?
I'm in a sort of funny position that I've got a lot of Dark Angels. And then I have three separate Heresy projects that I've done nothing with other than paint
three
single
other
models.
Ones.
Yeah.
Good God.
Well, the ideal would be if some kind of weird broken combo rule set came out based on the new edition, that I could just turn them into one army. Now, I've got a Light Sons of Horus green, so I've got Malgahurst, and I was planning to add legionaries with him. And then I like Zardy Lyak, so I was going to get him and then run those two as a Shattered Legions force, so half World Bearers. Word Bearers, sorry. World Bearers?
Classic.
Yeah. Word Bearers.
Yeah. Me getting Heresy names wrong is pretty much standard for the pod.
Word Eaters.
Word Eaters, yeah. I'm going to do a Word Eaters force with Zardy Lyak and Malgahurst as Shattered Legions, but I also have started a Ruinstorm Demons army because they're like the perfect army.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Because they have no models and just start.
Officially the weirdest rule set I've ever seen as well.
You're never going to finish. So, yeah, if I could run those three together, that would be excellent. Because it is weird that Word Bearers can't really do anything with demons. There's no...
Don't they have the only legion that have access to the summoning psychic
they
discipline?
They did, but that's not off Runestorm demons. It's only off...
Yeah. So I think that makes sense, that, though, because Runestorm demons are mad.
Yes, they are. I mean, but Zardy Lyak's a demon as well, so spoilers for...
I distinctly remember the first and only time I've played a game against the Ruinstorm list, and in the old 40k and, you know, Warhammer Fantasy rules, you could go up to being a level 4 wizard / psyker, and they can have, like, this guy is level 9 psychic demon. I was like, I didn't think the rules worked that way, but it turns out...
There's a very high bullshit potential, I think.
If you paid like 900 points for a character, you can do it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't think I'm going to divert from that. I mean, I do like so many legions, and even the thousands, not thousand sons, Imperial Fists in their yellow look so good in the preview images. I just love yellow, but I don't think that's justification to do an entire army. No.
Well, we'll all get to look at pretty yellow Space Marines because of Tom's... stuff.
Yeah, when I've posted pictures of my games with Tom, people are like, oh, the Imperial Fists look really good. And I'm like,
what am I, chop meat?
So, yes. No, I'd like to do my Ruinstorm. I'm probably never going to finish them. Yeah, the idea of I could do a green army, a red army, and then a wiggly army all together, that would be brilliant. So.
Nice.
I think Ruinstorm Demon's probably one of the rules things that I'm most curious to see in the new stuff, because I just don't see them that often.
Well, this is talking about things you want to still see, you know, to go back, GW Core have this argument of, well, if there's no model, there's no rules.
Right, which Heresy has avoided quite a lot.
Yeah, and Heresy, you know, even the Book years. 8, also Book 9, sorry, the most recent one, is like, yeah, there's some jetbags, there's some other stuff. No models for it, do what you like. It's a weird
I hope that still stays, because that's one of my less... I understand why they do it, but it's one of my least favorite things about modern GW's like rules writing ethos.
Yeah, I mean Necromunda chunks along with no models for half its units or half its
Specialist games is the Wild West basically.
So hopefully that stays.
Yeah.
Any more thoughts before we take the ship to harbour?
I hope Garrow's cool. He's cool.
Hope Garrow's cool.
Yeah. I hope that... Who's the other guy? Buddy Loken gets amazing rules so I can use his tiny, tiny, tiny model.
Okay, here's a question before we go. How long is it before we get Demon Primarch model / rules?
Ooh.
I hope that the answer is they get rules straight away and you just use the 40k ones and then they release Fulgrim and Angron for 40k right now.
It's gonna look so weird having this carefully weathered, historically accurate Thousand Suns Pure Cult army with big red man Magnus.
He's already that. He's already
bigger than Vedder.
Yeah, but that's exactly what happens.
Four times as big and as red as he should have been.
This is 100% lore accurate. Yeah. Should happen.
Yeah. Given that we're sort of like seem to be a bit Siege of Terror focused, without wanting to be too spoilery, that does seem feasible that maybe within like 2 years, maybe there'd be like a Demon Primarch model.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if they never did. But
they don't need new ones.
Yeah.
Just release the other two for 40k and be done with it. Bangs fist on table.
That's just because you'd prefer to have them in 40k though, Pete. So
it's not the prefer, but you know, that is the least effort for the most reward. Which is my entire philosophy for life.
Imagine the Grognards though.
I will and I'll laugh.
Sounds good. I think we'll see them. If we are going for Siege of Terror, which I'm basing on nothing other than kind of what the trailers have been suggesting.
The colours they've picked and, just that's where the novels are, right?
The novels are, very much there. I think we might see them sooner rather than later.
Do you think we're going to get the Emperor?
No. And I'll be really sad if we do, because I like him I like him as an ethereal kind of concept, like a freaky weirdo.
I have a prediction. My prediction is that they are going to do that art of the Emperor and Horus and Sanguinius. They're going to do a diorama of that.
Yeah,
that would be cool.
Demon Horus Emperor, 60 quid dead Sanguinius.
I think that they should absolutely do that, and that they absolutely do not need to do rules alongside it.
No.
Yeah.
Also, if you put rules out for the Emperor, right, what are kids at school going to talk about when they're Warhammer children? Because I remember being 13 or something and saying, I heard the Emperor's got 1+ save and he's got a million wounds and he can kill anything if he looks at it.
I think they should do the Emperor, but they shouldn't give him Eternal Warrior.
Blattered with one last cannon.
Yep.
Jokes on you. He was just a weird old man with glamour the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. Lol. Well, I think we've mined the depths of the heresy. The heresy.
Nothing more to say about it now.
Yeah. Well, we can see if we can do this edit before Games Workshop like reveal everything on Saturday or something.
Don't bother with the last Siege of Terror book, Dan Abnett. We finished it.
Yeah, it's done now.
Please do bother.
Okay. If you've enjoyed this content, you can find more at tinyplasticpeople.com, both articles and other podcasts, including most recently a new competitive Age of Sigmar podcast, 3-0, which Mr. Rich appears along with some others.
Three and two.
Yeah, it's the hazard winner two one games. Day tournament.
You don't just win three games and then go home.
Yeah, you are drastically overestimating.
You lose your first two games and then you submarine back to the mid table. That's what 3-2 is.
Okay. Maybe my tournament proceeding is so bad that it's just
as not an AOS player, Drew, I'll let you off. It's fine.
It's the confusion of any number bigger than zero in tournament scores that was throwing me. Has to be at least a zero in there. And also a variety of articles and our main Tiny Plastic People podcast. And for our guest tonight, Pete, can people find you elsewhere?
Yeah, find me on Instagram at Fienya, F-I-Y-E-N-Y-A-A, if you want to look at my painted models, or find me on Twitter if you want to see me shouting at people impotently.
Rich?
Yeah, find me on Twitter at Rich Nutter. That's where I tend to post hobby for the most part. Sometimes it pictures my cat, but you know, that's good too.
Good and you cat. Never shout at people.
I do, just tend to do it privately. So,
alt counts, that's what they're there for.
Tom, where can people find you shouting into the void?
You can find me on Twitter at Le Swordfish, that's L-E Swordfish, all one word, or on Instagram at Le_Swordfish.
And you can find me, not on Twitter, well, I am on Twitter, but I never go there. You can find me on Instagram at Drew_Paints, and you can see if I ever finish my Runestone Demon Army. If you have any questions for us, you can get in touch at thetinyplasticpeople@gmail.com. And we hope you'll join us for future podcasts. Thank you very much for being with us today. So goodbye, Pete.
Have a happy heresy, everybody.
Goodbye, Rich.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Tom.
Goodbye, children everywhere.
And goodbye, Drew.
And goodbye from me. Ta-ta.
Bye.
We did it.
We did it.